What is up, my dudes? It is Thursday, and welcome back to the Procrasticast. I'm Jay, and I've got news. We finally got a follower. Yes, no lie, this is what's up. And that's about as much celebration as they deserve. Anyhow, this time around, we're going to be covering... give me a minute. Saru Suburi, Miss Hokusai, an animated Japanese movie brought to you by director Keiichi Hara. Without further ado, let's get right into it. We start off in a very Naruto-esque world, at least going off the first scene, where we get narration from a girl who I'm guessing is Miss Hokusai. And she tells us about this famous painter we see painting a portrait of some guy named Bodhidharma, who, after some very light searching, I can tell you lived a very long time ago, around like 5th century apparently, and is also credited for creating Kung Fu. So there's that. Back to this portrait. I gotta say, I wish I lived at the time where this was good enough to be called, like, I mean, this is good enough to display and like show everyone, because I mean, it's super simple, black ink on white paper, and so there is some like beauty in its simplicity, but I mean, even the artist realized like how simple this would be and decided to step it up and drew it on a giant piece of paper, 120 tatami large. And tatami, you'll hear a couple times, is basically Japan's version of square feet back in the day. And actually, even now, I think. So he did that. And then to top that, he has also painted two sparrows on a grain of rice. I'm starting to like this guy. So we finally learn his name. This is Hokusai. And he's our narrator's papa. And dude, we're a minute in, and I am loving the look of this movie. Just the way, just the, and the style. I just love it so much already. And it seems like our story might be about art. I mean, after what we've gotten so far. And I'm kind of hoping it is. Yes, that that is how blind I go into every one of these movies. Alright, so we finally meet the girl behind the voice, who is Oe. Oe. Well, Oe is Portuguese, but it's like O-E-I. Oe? I think it's Oe. Let's just go with Oe. Anyway, she's meeting up with someone, and there seems to be a rumor going around that her dad is taking less jobs, which is like pretty bad for an artist. But she seems to be used to it, as she says that they always manage somehow, so this person shouldn't be worrying about it. And that's when we learn that this person is her mom, who she's visiting. Basically, that was her way of asking how he's doing without coming right out and asking. And after this, Oe asks if she could actually come and live with her, like to come back, I guess. So it seems that they're divorced. Wonder who left who. Her mom replies that she'd be delighted, obviously, but then what would come of her father? Like, what would her dad do? To which the daughter replies that Tetsuzo, that's like his pen name, he can handle himself even if he were split in half. It's really funny how harsh these old-timey like idioms are if you think about them literally. Anyway, the conversation ends there, and Oe comments on the She comments on the Saru Suburi that have finally bloomed, and can't resist to say this, sorry. Roll credits. It's not like that's trademarked, right? Right? Back home, we find Oe and her pops in a worse-for-wear neighborhood compared to like where she just was. And he's working on a new piece among all the other disorganized works, which take up the shelves and are sprawled on the floor, along with books and like used bowls. You know, to really drive the point home that there is no woman present in this household. As the daughter says, when the trash becomes too much, they just move it. And that sounds about right. But hey, at the very least, we hear that he, Tetsuzo, doesn't have any vices besides his love for women and his art. Anyway, back to the painting. Oh, well, there goes Tetsuzo out the door. after running his brush right over his finished piece, you know, after Oe dropped her tobacco ash right in the middle of it. Although it was accidentally, that's a big no-no. So he's gone to walk it off, I guess. Meanwhile, a guy who comes by to check on the piece demands to see the master, aka Tetsuzo, after hearing what happened to it. But when he does show up, all he can say is, as soon as he was done painting the dragon, it came off the page and flew away. I mean, it's pretty beautifully depicted, although the truth isn't that grand at all. And then we hear why the guy is worried, as he says that his lord won't be satisfied by Tetsuzo's head alone. He would also have to offer up his life. I mean, that's a hard life, man. Working as someone's servant back in the day. You could just... seems like your life is on the line with almost anything that you're doing. So the daughter hears that, and she reminds him that they still have a day till, like, they have to turn it in. And to check back tomorrow to see if the dragon has flown back by then. They're so, like, blasé about it all. Anyway, they put a pin in that, and later that night they sit for dinner, where Tetsuzo tells her, like, yeah, it'll be impossible for him to remake that in a day. They are then abruptly interrupted by a fallen samurai who lives with them. Yeah, just another roommate. And he's brought a friend who even he hadn't realized in his drunken disarray was the up-and-coming artist at only 19 years old that goes by Kuninao. Speaking of... I think, yeah, 19 is when I realized I was even interested in art. I guess some people are just lucky. Anyway, he apologizes for intruding, but sits and praises Tetsuzo, like he's this big master that everyone knows about, and properly meets Oe. I mean, I say properly because earlier that day, he tried to stop her on the bridge to sketch her, I guess, but ended up stepping on dog shit. And she got away from him. That's his story. We see that Oe is practicing drawing a dragon on some paper. And when Kuninao sees this, he drops some knowledge on her about how you're supposed to draw the dragon with small, quick strokes after it descends from above and makes contact with the page. Some pretty cool sounding stuff, but what does it mean, really? Seeing this, the drunken fallen samurai picks on him for flirting with the master's daughter, and they have a food fight, which ends with Oe throwing all of them out, including Tetsuzo, as she can't focus on what she's doing. So they all leave and go to have a drink and land back on the topic of dragons, who Tetsuzo and Kuninao say they have seen before, but not the samurai. He tells them there's probably a logical explanation, like kicked up dirt or it was just a figment of their imagination. And the master says that's why his paintings are so bad, because his worldview is so narrow. So starting today, I too believe in the almighty dragon, if that's all it takes, goddammit. Meanwhile, a storm is brewing outside, and someone or something seems to be making its way through their neighborhood. All the while, Oe looks as if she's going to try and recreate the painting she ruined. And that's when we see golden eyes descending from the storm clouds, along with a giant dragon's hand coming down right over Oe's house. Cut to the next morning, where we meet back with the samurai, who, along with the other two, passed out at the brothel last night, but seems to be the last one who leaves as he makes his way home that morning. Also, here's the part where I cut in and tell you all about this adorable little puppy that's living on the streets and has been hanging around Oe's house, who was also probably the only one who saw the dragon last night. That is, until the samurai steps inside and lays his eyes upon the work that Oe painted, which captured the dragon from last night. And after the pup followed him in, the samurai takes him in as he sits down in front of a sheet of paper. Seems like the dragon sparked something inside of him too. Then we're taken along to a temple or shrine, I think? It doesn't say specifically. Where Oe meets her younger sister, Onao. Seems like the parents were really caught up on that vowel. Who's blind from birth and takes her out for a walk. They go to the bridge, which seems to be her favorite place, as she says that you can listen to a lot of different voices and smells too. We also learned that although the mom and sister make time to see Onao, Tetsuzo apparently almost, well, actually never does. While we're on the bridge, we meet one of her father's students, another artist, and it's pretty obvious that Oe likes him. He introduces himself to Onao and overall seems like a pretty nice guy. He also compliments Oe's recent work, though he probably hasn't seen the dragon yet, which would knock his socks off right away. He then excuses himself as he has to go do painterly things, but before going, he gives her a handkerchief for the paint on her face and tells her that she should clean it off, as in his words, she has such a pretty face. Very nice, dude. Very, very well done. So he leaves, and the two sisters decide to take a boat ride where Oe explains the whole experience to her younger sister and even helps her reach down to touch the water. And afterwards, they continue their outing and just have a great old, I want to say a gay old time, but yeah, I'm gonna say it. They have a gay old time. This is an old-timey movie. It works. Then we get back to the samurai who's making some pretty strange facial expressions while the master captures them on the page until he gets a break when the master breaks down the samurai's art. And he just like says that it's not that great and that his one of his lines is that the people that he draws, if you were to pull on one of the lines that of the people that he draws, that they would fall into a puddle. So like, yeah, they're just not very well done. He's new. What can you do? From there, they get on the topic of Oe's art, and we find out that though she's great at like portraying women, her father says that she can only copy his men, like in a similar style to what he draws. I mean, Tetsuzo has a great eye for this. He can pick up on your influences like really quickly. Just then, Oe walks in and packs up her things as she's gonna go meet with a client. But when the samurai hears where the job is, him and her dad decide to tag along. They come along because the client is apparently shrouded in mystery, and there's a lot of rumors going around that her head and body like to separate on occasion. Like, literally. For example, one of the rumors is that when she's asleep, it's said that her head slips away from the pillow until the morning. So yeah, that sort of stuff. And the samurai is actually the one behind that rumor, though he says that he actually witnessed it, so eh, maybe. They go to meet with a client who is a lady of the night, if you know what that means, but seems to be pretty high up the ladder. And after seeing Oe's work, she loves the paintings, and they talk business, and when she's done with her, she turns her attention to the two guys who came along, and the samurai speaks up. To which she angrily gets up to leave and says that if they're looking for entertainment, to look elsewhere. But the samurai quickly apologizes and only asks that she hears out his master. And Tetsuzo asks her to have a seat, that this will only take a moment, as he tells her about a time before his daughter was born when he was hired to make a drawing that depicted monsters and demons, which he did late into the night. But after finishing that very night, he was awoken by tapping on the tatami, which he realized was coming from his own hands that were madly tapping the tatami when something like smoke poured out of his fingers and flew out his window into the night. And he could feel in his own hands everything that these smoke hands did as they flew about. And this would happen every night, so much so that he eventually grew used to it, but then grew worried that if something were to happen to those hands while they were out, might it affect his actual hands? As an artist, this was troubling. So he told a monk friend of his about this, who quickly proposed the treatment of scribing sutras onto his hands and then binding them and wrapping them in rosemary beads. And then he says, as she could see, ever since the phenomenon hasn't happened again. She congratulates him jokingly, but then gets serious and tells him to wait, and when he hears the sounds of bells, to go into the next room. Shit just got real. So they wait and have dinner, and it gets later, and just as the samurai is about to give up and head back, the promised bells are heard, and they enter the room where they find the client shaking her head in her sleep until it rises and another ghostly head leaves hers and starts flying around the room. but only Oe and her father can see it. Luckily, it seems like the head can't escape from this bug net that's around her bed. Bet that wasn't advertised as a reason to buy now. Anyway, seeing as it can't fly off, it returns to her body and she wakes up. She asks if they saw, to which they nod, and she just says that she won't go through the same treatment that Tetsuzo went through. And when he asks what she'll do if it doesn't come back one day, she simply replies, "We'll see when the time comes." Feels bad, man. So with the sun coming up, they head back home, and we learn that the tale the father told wasn't his own, but something another artist had written, and that he said it in order to watch the show. Next, we see Oe rushing to the scene of a fire, and we learn that she's enamored with them. Well, they say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Anyway, when she gets back and tries to explain it to the samurai, she likens it to his fascination with women and Tetsuzo's with sweets. And with that, they all get back to sleep. And following that, we're treated by another sisterly outing, but this time in the snow, when everything is just a bit quieter as the snow absorbs a lot of sound. They stop at a rest area to get something to warm them up when a kid about her sister's age comes up and seems like he wants to play, when he quickly realizes that she can't see. So he uses the snowball for something else, as he takes aim at the trees, and after hitting them, the falling snow captures the blind girl's attention. So he does it again and again, and she's enjoying it. He then takes her under a tree and gets her to throw a snowball up, and they both laugh as the snow falls on them. All in all, it's just a very sweet scene that gives you faith in humanity. And as they play in the snow, Oe is reminded of her childhood, when her father was working and she wanted to play, but instead of playing with her or even shooing her away, he gave her her own brush and paint to work alongside of him, which was a happy memory for her. She's pulled back to reality as her sister is lying flat in the snow, not moving. She's not like other girls her age, so although she wanted to keep playing, she quickly ran out of energy. But she is fine, although Oe was deftly spooked. She carries her back, but on her way, Oe sees her father, who doesn't try to greet them and just continues on his way. We don't know why, but he can't bring himself to talk to his blind daughter. And when Oe asks if she wants to go to her house, Onae... Yep, you heard that right. I said Onae when her name is Onao. I don't know why I decided to make it more difficult on myself, but from now on I call her Onae when her name is Onao. You probably wouldn't have even noticed, but I noticed, so this is just me saying that's gonna happen, and I'm wrong. So yeah. Just says that she'd be troubling her father if she did, which would then trouble her. She's overly concerned of others as she thinks she's at fault for most. So in the end, they both go their own way. All of a sudden, we're plunged into a home where a woman seems to be in the middle of a nightmare, where creatures were surrounding her. And as she lets out a scream, her staff quickly comes to her aid, and she tells them about the cries of death she heard coming from the painting in the other room. But the fun doesn't seem to stop at night, as she begins seeing the painting manifest in broad daylight. We learn from a messenger that her husband had commissioned the painting depicting hell from Oe. And although the samurai tries to chalk it up to dementia, the staff is sure that that isn't the case, as the messenger recounts another instance where the lady saw a shadow coming from her lantern and started a fire trying to put it out, when her husband rushes to the room where he also saw something that was not quite his wife sitting in the room, which is why they finally sent someone over to see if there was anything that they can do. But they're just artists, what could they really expect them to do? Ultimately, he says that Oe's talent was just too great, that she produced something that brought hell to life. But her father says that this is in fact proof of her lack of experience. And after looking at her sketches for the piece, he finds the problem and goes to the residence to put an end to the issue. Meanwhile, back at the residence, we see that the painting is getting ready to stir up more trouble. So as soon as Tetsuzo gets there, he gets to work, as we see a minotaur pulling a burning wagon through town. Yeah, that's pretty standard stuff, no? Well, no need to worry, as Tetsuzo is a pro and quickly finishes mending the piece. And we see what he meant by incomplete. He was talking about the story that she was portraying. Sure, she got hell, but only hell, and so it lacked a balancing force, which he added in the form of a deity, who those in hell would seek salvation from. And with that, he says that the household would not have anything more to worry about. Case closed, and another restless night comes to an end as they make their way back home with the sun rising behind them. And although she won't admit it to him, Oei acknowledges that her father is still a step or two ahead of her when it comes to art. Following this, we see her meeting with a client as he cancels their agreement after seeing what she came up with for it, ultimately saying that everyone has their strengths and weaknesses, and explains that with what he wanted depicted, the samurai might be more up for the task. Not that her painting was bad, only that it lacked any sensuality. Moreover, blaming her father for putting her up to these tasks, knowing that she's not great at this sort of piece. So she walks home as it's literally raining on her parade, when she meets with her father's student again, who decides to go see his master and is going to take her home under his umbrella. He then brings up the samurai whose paintings of women have been the talk of the town. I mean, good for him to be getting some recognition. But then Oei blows up after hearing him praise the erotic paintings, saying that she hates those vulgar drawings, and excuses herself. All of a sudden, finding herself at the brothel, and before she can leave, she's pulled in by a worker who had just gotten done with a client. But I'm pretty sure it's a guy in drag, which might be normal at the time. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it is, because back in the day, acting for men and women was done by only men. So anyway, they get up to the room and she's told to take off her clothes because she's soaking wet and is going to ruin the tatami. After changing, he then pulls her onto the bed and tries to get things started, though he's not being rough. And that's when she sees a painting of Buddha hung up, which catches her attention with where she is. That's like a weird painting to have up. So they pause and talk about it. And turns out that the prostitute put it up to try and protect him when monks and other religious folk came by to visit him. But that never really worked. Well, they chat a bit more and he asks if they should just stop there when she gets back on the bed. And he happily turns out the light and starts doing his job. But just as he's kissing down her neck, he falls asleep. Guess he's had a long day too. And he tells her that he'll be up in a second for her to count to 100 and wake him up. But she lets him be, as she was obviously nervous. So they lay there and slept. And she has a very similar dream that night to the one that he did. In it, she's stepped on by a giant Buddha. Someone get out the dream journal and tell me what that means. Following that, we see her the next morning and are left to wonder if they went any further or not. But I'm going to say that they didn't. But this experience was enough for her, as we see her meeting again with the client, but this time he accepts her proposal, and as thanks for her work, he even gives her a ticket to a theater performance that night. And after accepting it, he then tells her that he gave the other ticket that he had to Hatsugoru, her dad's student. So yeah, there's now that to look forward to. So with that on her mind, she runs into that up-and-coming artist, who invites her out to a festival. It's hard not to root for this guy. That is, until he starts abruptly talking about the kind of girl that he likes, which is rather composed girls who can assert and defend themselves. And I guess this is a compliment, but it made me laugh so hard when I heard it. That is not how you do it, dude. We follow them as they go around the festival, and he tries to confess to her. But even without that, it's pretty obvious what he's got in his mind. And Oei kind of goes along with him, but she's still got that ticket on her mind. And when she sees the opportunity, she takes it and leaves to make it to the performance. And just a quick aside, we see the pup and samurai, and they very much abide by that whole pet looking like the owner thing, as they both watch Oei run in and get ready. Also, the pup's all grown up, which shows how time has passed in the movie. I'd say probably about a year, but he looks pretty fully grown. Anyway, she's finally ready and makes her way to the theater, where she sees Hatsugoro. That's a harder name than all. This is probably the hardest name, Hatsugoro. The father's student. But he's out with another woman. And after seeing that, she obviously doesn't stick around. Cut to Tetsuzo, who's enjoying his lunch when he sees a mom and daughter enjoying theirs. And laughing and playing. And when he gets home, Oei tells him that his daughter is sick. And that he should go to see her, even if it isn't that serious, that it would make her happy. And he just brushes her off with a sure, which makes Oei storm off. And we find her again at the bridge, where she is looking at her ticket before dropping it into the river below. Next, we see Oei's mom paying a beggar to release some sparrows that he had captured. Anything can be a profession, kids. Anything at all. And that's when Tetsuzo comes around the corner and they reconnect. And she's obviously happy about the encounter. So she asks him if he's coming home and even offers some sweet rice cakes that she's made. And I mean, this is just another feel-good scene that makes you wonder why they split in the first place. It's not like either of them have taken another lover. Though, as we have heard at the start, this guy's great at drawing women, so maybe he left her knowing that he wouldn't be able to stay faithful to her. I don't know. Back to it. They make their way home, and inside, he meets with his daughter. And at the moment she reaches out and touches him, everything else fades away. Only father and daughter are left. And that night we see that he gets to work on a painting that he sends over with Oei the next day, saying that once they hung it up, it would drive away the evil. And that's no small feat, like just saying. But as we've seen throughout this movie, paintings, when done right, have an effect on those in its presence. So I believe that it really does drive away evil. And the next day we see Oei as she's explaining the portrait and all its power to Onae. That's when Onae asks if her father hates her, because he hates sick people, apparently. And Oei reassures her that he doesn't. He's just a coward who's afraid of getting sick, but that he definitely cares about her, which is proven by this piece that he made specifically for her. She really is like a doll, like with how small she is and like fragile and shit. That night while they're asleep, Onae says that she sees something on the net, which is pretty weird. And when Oei checks it out, she finds that there is something up there. A praying mantis. Again, weird. Anyway, Onae then tells her sister again that when she dies, she'll be going to hell. Which is like this dumb belief that she has because she's blind and isn't able to help in the family and whatever. So she believes that she'll be going to hell when she dies. The next morning, she's bedridden with a fever, but that's pretty normal for her. So her mom reassures Oei that she'll be getting better in no time and asks that she bring her father along next time too, and says that she and him are a lot alike. Back at home, she tries to lie that her sister's getting better to try and get him to go see her, but he calls her bluff, and that's when the samurai walks in saying that it felt as if he was being followed by a little girl. And now I'm just thinking, please, no. No. Not Onae. Come on, man. She's getting better. Everyone's saying it, so it must be happening. But then he goes and describes her perfectly. And right then, before Oei can even get out the door, a strong wind blows in their door and goes past her and her dad and right through the back door. And, well, Oei knows. Then we're given an amazing running sequence, like, of Oei going over to her mom's house. But it's fucking, like, beautiful. It's perfect. I love it. It's all one close-in shot, like, that goes, like, from her face to, like, her actual running feet or whatever. It's probably my favorite scene of the movie. It's really, really great. Meanwhile, still sitting back at home with a Sarusuburi that really ruins the moment. They can't fucking pronounce this word. With a Sarusuburi. The flower, okay? The red flower from the start of the movie, okay? That one. So again, I'm gonna just... Meanwhile, still sitting with that flower laying before him, the father says, as if to his daughter, that she finally managed to come to him all on her own. And when we reach her mom's house, we learn that Onai had indeed departed. And we finally get the father's true purpose behind why he never goes to see his blind daughter. As he says that he feels guilty, as though he had stolen her vision, and that's what made him a good artist. So whenever he saw her, he blamed himself for the position that she was in. Later that night, we see the two back home working on their art, and again the samurai comes in saying as if he felt he was being followed. I mean, come on, guy. Not again. But this time, it turns out to be true, as Kuninao was right behind him. He came to invite the ninja... Oh, ninja. I mean, samurai. To a drinking contest against the woman, where the winner will apparently get to see a rare tattoo on her back that's never been seen before. Hell, sign me up. Well, after letting out a false excuse, the dad, samurai, and young artist make their way out, and Oei yells at him that he better not expect her to finish his piece, and he just responds that his usual had commented that it might be time for her to start working under her own pen name, showing that he recognizes her. And as she sits there, working into the night, nothing seems to be coming out right. So she gives into what actually is on her mind. And when she finishes, she makes her way outside to talk to Onae, up in heaven, because she knows for certain she's not in hell. She then ends the conversation, letting her know that they are all just fine down here, but most importantly, happy. And we finally get a look at what she painted, which was a portrait of her sister beneath a sarusaburi tree, watching her goldfish. The end. At least that's what I thought, except this movie turned out to be based on a true story, and after that scene, it just keeps going, and we're given everyone's life story. So I'm gonna just run through these, okay? So starting with Tetsuzo, he apparently never stopped painting and passed away at 90, although he always said he'd live past 100. And apparently even on his deathbed, he was pleading with like death, asking for 5 more years, that 5 more years is all he needed to finally become a true artist. I mean, that's some pretty dedicated man, dude. I mean, like, I don't know if I'm not there, definitely not there. That's crazy. Anyway, on to the samurai, who became pretty well known under his pen name, Keisai Eisen, and passed away a year before the master had. Meanwhile, Oei married and divorced one time, ultimately going back and living with her father till he passed away, and then 9 years later, she passed away. And 11 years after her death, the era of the samurai came to an end. Not quite the ninja I was thinking of at the start of the film, but close enough. Also, turns out that the city she lived in was renamed, dun-da-da-dun, Tokyo. Okay, now actually the end. Where they do something kind of weird. Yeah, it's still going, but this is actually the end. They do something a little weird where they, like, time shift, I guess, kind of, the old setting to a, like, present-day Tokyo. I guess that's to, like, drive home the fact that it became Tokyo. But I thought it was kind of out of place. I don't know. Honestly, the movie could have ended after we saw the sister's portrait and then given us the facts, like, as the credits rolled. That's, like, what I'm more used to, and that's what I think would have worked better as, like, the actual end of the movie. Because now the end of the movie is, like, a fucking frame of Tokyo. It's weird. I don't know. So, anyway, that was it. That was it. Pretty great, I think. I think it had it all, you know, for a movie about art, about, and apparently like a biography kind of thing, like a biopic. This movie had a lot in it. Though there were times when it felt like we were switching, like, from a movie to a couple of short stories. I don't know. It felt weird, like, in the middle, kind of. But it wrapped up nicely. And it had great characters. I mean, especially the main character, Oei, we saw a range of emotions from her, and the art, well, the animation was a fucking A+. I mean, it was a pretty recent release in 2016, But seriously, Studio Production IG did a great job for a studio that I really haven't heard of before. Except that's what I thought until I just, like I said that, and I decided to Google. And after looking them up, turns out that they've done a couple of things that I really like. So let me just list some of those off. So Usagi Drop, Guilty Crown, Welcome to the Ballroom, and here's some of the ones that you've probably heard of: Psycho Pass, Attack on Titan, and my personal favorite, Haikyuu. So yeah, I'll definitely be on the lookout for them in the future. I think that's all I've got on the movie. It was really, really fucking good. I loved it. It was great. And with that, I think I'll wrap this up. That was Sarusuburi, fuck yeah, first try, Miss Hokusai, and this is Jay signing off from the Procrasticast. See ya.